ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 9, Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, text 29.
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Ma Vedagava, Gatandring, Sage, Ujjamam, Avaha, Tat, Maya, Aparitam, Agre, Yat, Mam, Pratayate, Bhavan, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Ma Veda Garbha Gasthandrin, Saga Ujjamam Avaha, Tanmaya Bharitam Yagre Yanmam Pratyate Bhavan Ma Veda Garbha Gasthandrin Saga Ujjamam Avaha Tanmaya Bharitam Yagre Yanmam Prathayate Bhavan.
Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead then said, O Brahma, O depth of Vedic wisdom, be neither depressed nor anxious about the execution of creation. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Any person authorized by either the Lord or by his bona fide representative is already blessed, as is the work entrusted to him. Of course, the person entrusted with such a responsibility should always be aware of his incapability and must always look for the mercy of the Lord for the successful execution of his duty. One should not be puffed up because he is entrusted with certain executive work. Fortunate is he who is so entrusted, and if he is always fixed in the sense of being subordinate to the will of the Supreme, he is sure to come out successful in the discharge of his work. Arjuna was entrusted with the work of fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And before he was so entrusted, the Lord had already arranged for his victory. But Arjuna was always conscious of his position as subordinate to the Lord. And thus he accepted him as the supreme guide in his responsibility. Anyone who takes pride in doing responsible work but does not give credit to the Supreme Lord is certainly falsely proud and cannot execute anything nicely. Brahma and persons in the line of his disciple succession who follow in his footsteps are always successful in the discharge of loving transcendental service to the Supreme Lord. Om Agyana Chimananda Syanaganjana Sangaya Chakshumali Tamina Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha. This chapter is giving you a very dramatic scene at the beginning of the creation when Brahma is all alone. And he's on top of the lotus flower coming from Garbhadakshai Vishnu. In the abdomen of the Supreme Lord is contained the planetary systems. Precisely speaking, in the stem of the lotus flower is contained all the ingredients that Brahma is going to need for arranging the planetary systems again. Now, from the very beginning, even before you contemplate the content of these prayers, from the very beginning the scene is such that your material intelligence has to fold up and offer obeisances. Congratulations that you are Hare Krishnas and you are hearing that the beginning of the universe came from the lotus flower in the navel of the Lord, and on top of that lotus flower was sitting the first person. Not only did everything come from a person, but that first person in the cosmos is the most intelligent. Therefore, Brahma is known as Adi Kavi, the original professor, the original scientist and scholar of the universe. Tene Brahma Hida in Adi Kaviye. He was enlightened what to do by the Lord from within the heart. Now, Brahma is all alone. Who is Brahma? He's the most pious person in the universe. When you are the most pious person in the universe, you can take birth as Brahma. And according to how big the universe is, Brahma has a certain amount of heads. It is said that because this universe is small, therefore Brahma only has 4 heads in this universe. But there are other universes much greater in which Brahma has countless heads. Also, the Shastra explains that when you fall from the spiritual world, you first take the position as Brahma. And then, because of the implicating nature of material existence, you can go down to even become a worm and stool. This is the nature of the material energy that we consider so casually quite often. Like, what is the need for me to be careful about my Krishna consciousness? What is the need for me to be very discreet in my dealings with materialistic persons and materialistic association? We can become so casual because we don't understand how implicating and entangling the material nature is. This is why in this chapter Brahma is praying for the mercy of the Lord. Now, try to understand the scene that Brahma is dealing with. He's all alone, and surrounding him is the violent waves and waters. This is such an overwhelming situation that the Shastra says Brahma is depressed, practically speaking, looking at the scene around him, and he's going to have to manage and organize in this situation. He's also feeling anxiety, as you heard yesterday. How is he going to be able to do this task properly? In this situation, the Lord is going to assure Brahma, don't worry, that I'm going to give you all the intelligence you need. In fact, I've already given everything necessary for you to successfully complete this task. In other words, Krishna is saying, I already know the situation, and already I've made arrangements for you to have your wishes granted. This is today's verse. O Brahma, O depth of Vedic wisdom, be neither depressed nor anxious about the execution of creation. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. This chapter is full of wonderful managemental information. In this way you can see Srila Prabhupada's transcendental genius. Who would have thought that in a situation of Brahma on top of the lotus flower coming from the navel of Garbhadaksha Vishnu, in describing this situation, Prabhupada is going to impart managemental advice. But that is Srila Prabhupada's transcendental genius, as we've tried to explain before in previous visits, that he can, in such an uncanny way, combine the height of practical insight with the most extraordinary spiritual revelations. This is Srila Prabhupada's unmatched superiority. because he saw everything connected to Krishna. Therefore, in his books, you find the perfect intelligence how to handle both the material and spiritual energy. And Prabhupada can jump so easily from 1 minute describing an inconceivable situation, Brahma on top of a lotus flower. The next minute, he's talking about how to do your practical work, how to manage for Krishna. In this purport, he's saying that as soon as you are entrusted with a particular task by the Supreme Lord, there is empowerment in that entrustment. Still, even though just by your receiving this entrusted task, you always have to beg, please don't let me become puffed up, please give me mercy. Two things are going on in bhakti yoga. The Lord is awarding a chance for you to serve Him. Whether you are a big manager or you're sweeping the floor in the temple, you have been given service by Krishna. And Krishna doesn't very easily give service out, because by the service, Krishna can be conquered. So, devotional service is something very protected by the Lord. But when Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gives the opportunity to conquer Krishna very easily. Now, no matter what service you have been entrusted by Krishna. Every devotee should feel like that. Whether I'm managing or preaching or distributing books or cooking or cleaning the restaurant, I have been given this service by Krishna. This is my chance to show Krishna that I care, that I'm conscientious. Now, with the awarding of the service, there is blessing. But we also have to continuously and every day beg the Lord, please allow me to render this service in proper consciousness. Then we have full bhakti yoga. Two things going on all the time. The awarding of service to the devotee, and the devotee reciprocates by constantly begging the Lord, as Brahma has done, please don't allow me to become puffed up. Please don't allow me to fall down. This is how a devotee reciprocates. And this is how the Supreme Lord reciprocates. The Lord gives service, and the devotee offers his constant prayers, please allow me to do this service without becoming proud. These two things are constantly going on. Finally, Krishna becomes so impressed by the devotee that Krishna is ready to give everything, even himself. Like Prabhupada wrote one devotee, actually it was a dear godbrother, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Prabhupada wrote him, Krishna is not a poor man, he can give anything, he can give the whole USA to a devotee if he wants to, but he's waiting to see when does the devotee become qualified. At that moment I'll give. Otherwise, like a perfect doctor who knows you don't give sweets prematurely to a sick patient, similarly Krishna knows. Don't give too much facility to those who aren't ready. In this way, Krishna shows he's the perfect loving reciprocator. He knows how to protect his devotees. Brahma has asked, please, first of all, give me the intelligence to create. Number two, please don't let me become materially affected by the discharge of my duties. I don't want to become proud and puffed up. And number three, please make it so I won't deviate from the Vedic guidelines. He has those anxieties because he's looking at the task that he has to do, arranging the planetary systems. And he also has to arrange all the different bodies for the living entities according to their karma and desire. Not only the bodies, but he has to arrange the living situations which will match the karma and the desires of the living entities. So, therefore, Prabhupada, as you heard him say yesterday, This task is so great that no one in the universe can even understand how difficult it was. Sometimes we feel we have difficult service. But here Prabhupada is voicing his appreciation for Brahma. No one in the whole universe can understand how difficult this task was that Brahma had. But by the grace of the Lord, Brahma was able to execute that tremendous task so perfectly that everyone is amazed to see the workmanship of the Vidata, or the regulator. A devotee is always eager to appreciate the service of other devotees. When there's a constant flow of appreciation, how devotional service is being rendered, everyone becomes enlivened. So, you're hearing that even Srila Prabhupada, he's writing his comments, and he's marveling at the devotional service done by Lord Brahma, saying, you can't imagine at all how difficult the task was. In pushing on Krishna consciousness today, we face so many difficult tasks. Here at New Dwarka, Prabhupada always referred to the multifarious departments at New Dwarka. So many complexities and legalities and financial this's and that's. Sometimes I wonder if the ordinary devotees, when I say ordinary, I mean those who don't have to shoulder so many managemental tasks, if you ever knew what the managers have to go through here just to push on Krishna's service, you might faint. Very intricate, very pressing burdens. It's like now, so many of our top brains in the community, they have to figure out some legal arrangements, and they're praying to Krishna, they're trying to think of the ways how to protect the Lord's devotional energy. So, such a daunting task. But everyone who tries to do something on behalf of Krishna can be assured that the blessings of the Lord are already there. A daunting task can be just getting into the Sankirtan van every morning. That can be a daunting task. I remember when I had the good fortune of going out every day and distributing books as a it was a daunting task every morning. I had to pray to Krishna, please get me into the van. But I have to confess, to tell you the truth, after a couple of years of praying like that, then my prayer changed, and I was praying, Krishna, please don't let me out of, don't let me do anything else but this. So these wonders are possible in the course of rendering devotional service. One minute you think you don't like something, but you're praying to Krishna, I want to surrender to this service, please give me the ability and the determination. The next minute, you love the service and you're begging Krishna, just let me go on like this all my life. Only a devotee knows about these ecstasies. I hope he doesn't mind me saying so, but it's like I got one message from your Roberto here. He was saying, well, you know, working in the kitchen every day, the same thing every day, how can I go on like this? I said, you are working in Krishna's kitchen. What a glorious opportunity. What do you mean, how can you go on? There's nothing better than this. Then I reminded him, remember how determined you were back in New Zealand working at Burger King? Now you're in Krishna's kitchen. I think there's a bit of a difference. One minute we're in the pits of Ugra Karma in a kitchen. The next minute we're in Krishna's kitchen. How fortunate we are. So we have to beg Krishna, please give me the determination and understanding so I can not throw this service away. Anytime you've been awarded devotional service, you take it as your golden opportunity. And then you'll be able to receive more intelligence from Krishna. Just look at Brahma, how dependent on the Supreme Lord he is. And just see how the Lord so expertly reciprocates. So many times we are thinking, I know, does Krishna understand how much I'm sacrificing? Does the Lord really know how much I'm going through? And Krishna will always show you he does. Just like he's telling Brahma, what you're begging for me has already been granted before. In other words, I'm aware of where you're at. I'm aware of what you need. Countless times in the Bhagavatam, you'll find Krishna revealing this to his devotee. I already know what you want. Just like when Kardama Muni was performing austerities because he wanted the perfect wife. When at the peak of his devotional offering of his austerities and yogic meditation on the Supreme Lord, the Lord appeared on the back of Garuda. And then Kardama Muni made his presentation saying, I know it's not the best thing to ask for fulfillment of material desires, and I know the most intelligent transcendentalists don't do this, but I have a desire for a perfect wife, and therefore I'm presenting this to you. What did the Supreme Personality of Godhead say? I already am aware of your desire. And tomorrow morning, Swayambhuva Manu is coming with his daughter. It's all been arranged. She's perfectly qualified. Of course, you cannot say that Kardama Muni's desire was material, although he's presenting himself in that way, because he was to be the father of Lord Kapiladeva, the incarnation of Godhead. The Lord needs no father. The Lord needs no mother. But just because some devotees want to love him in that way, the Lord appears to take a mother and father. In this way, Kardama Muni facilitated the Lord's appearance in this world. Still, he presented himself that, I have these desires, excuse me, but don't mind me saying this, and the Lord said, I already know about it. Similarly, in Vrindavan, when the Lord disappeared from his sacred rasa dance, he appeared again after so many feelings, scenes full of feeling, separation, songs and separation by the gopis. The Lord dramatically appeared in the middle of the night again. He appeared in the forest, and the gopis made a seat for the Lord on the bank of the Jamuna River. They smoothed out the sand, and then they took off their top part of their sari, and they put it on the ground so the Lord could sit on the sand. And meanwhile, the Jamuna River was piling up the soft sand with using her waves like arms to pile up soft sand on the bank of the Jamuna. And so the gopis were smoothing out the sand with their hands and then putting their cloth on top. And they sat the Lord down. And the Lord sat beside each gopi by his mystical ability, his internal potency, because he's Ishwar in the heart of everyone. Ishwar Sarvabhutan, Hridayesha Junatishtati. But that Ishwar in the heart, when seated amongst the gopis, he came out of the heart and sat beside each one of them, although they couldn't see that. Each one thought, I've got Krishna all to myself. This is how expert the Supreme Lord is in reciprocating love. Sometimes we may feel insecure that I'm just one devotee of so many. So how will I actually feel personally secure? But we always see in Krishna's perfect dealings with his devotees that he is the most expert at giving love security. And this is so important for the psychology. Not only spiritually, but materially. People do anything to get security in love. A love they can depend on. They don't have to worry about or be in anxiety. Each person wants to feel that I am the center of the universe for the other person. Krishna is the most expert in doing that. He's the most expert in reciprocating your love. So he sat beside each gopi, and each gopi thought, I've got Krishna all to myself. And they would take Krishna's lotus feet in their hands and start massaging his lotus feet, while looking into his face, moving their eyebrows and smiling, and sometimes trying to hide their, you might say, anger, because Krishna had disappeared before and left them all alone. So they had their anger, which they had to suppress. Now, how can Krishna's topmost devotees be angry? Just to give the Lord pleasure. Everything they do, whether they're smiling sweetly or Krishna's dearest devotees are angry, it's all 100% to give the Lord pleasure. So then they began to ask Krishna questions about his reciprocation. They were manifesting a few doubts. Not doubts like we have, but just to stir the ocean of loving exchange, they wanted to ask Krishna a few important questions for his clarification. So they said, "Excuse us, we're just simple women from Vrindavan. We have a few pointed questions for you." Here in this verse today, Brahma is called Vedagarbha. He has the depth of all Vedic wisdom. The Lord is calling him that. The gopis presented themselves as devoid of Vedic knowledge and just simple girls of Vrindavan. But they asked questions which were the deepest because they're concerning love of Krishna. Although the questions are expressed very simply because these are the dearest devotees of Krishna, anything they say has the most extraordinary import. So they said, "You please tell us. You clarify the situation for us. We just want to know the answer. Which kind of lover is the best?" There are three types, as far as we can see. Number one type of lover, whatever he gets, he reciprocates. That's it. Number two type of lover always reciprocates with the beloved, whether there's good times or bad, whether callousness or sweetness, doesn't matter. Reciprocation is always going on. And number three type of lover is just aloof, is not affected by sweetness or callousness, is just totally detached. So what do you think, Krishna? In this way, the gopis were hinting at Krishna, "You haven't been very good at reciprocating. You disappear from us after calling us to the forest." So, in other words, they're saying, "Can you please kindly explain yourself?" So what did Shyamasundara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, say? He said, number one, the kind of lover who just reciprocates exactly what he got. In other words, the lover who gives back what he received. That's merchant, business type of love. Not very impressive at all. In fact, Krishna said, better not to love at all than to love by only giving what you've received. Exactly how you treat me, I'll treat you. Krishna said, better not even to love at all. This is the world, or by the world, the cosmic authority on love, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. He's teaching how to have loving affairs. It's better than that number one type, which is not very impressive at all, is number two, who will reciprocate no matter how the loving affairs are going on. And the examples given of a mother raising the child, even though the child may neglect the mother, still the mother is always loving. Krishna said that is the best type. All-weather type of devotee, in all circumstances, always going on with the loving affairs. But then Krishna said, there's the third type. This type of lover evidently shows no reciprocation at all. This type of lover doesn't seem to be impressed by affection or callousness. This type of lover is just self-contained. In other words, Krishna was referring to himself. In presenting his answers to the gopis, Krishna was asserting his position as the self-sufficient supreme enjoyer. In other words, he's saying, that's where I'm at. I'm Atmarama. I'm self-satisfied. I don't need anything. I don't have to do anything. Then the Lord explained also, someone who is so detached can actually be hard-hearted. Just like someone who's gotten so many favors and refuses to acknowledge them. But Krishna made it clear, he's in the category of the Atmarama. He doesn't reciprocate, apparently, because he's fooling himself. Now, the Lord, having established that he's fooling himself, then began to reveal his secrets. Yes, Krishna is Atmaram. He's Om Purnam. He's fooling himself. He doesn't need anyone to fulfill his desires. At the same time, he likes to come under the control of his devotees, and he likes to fan the flames of his devotees' love. So Krishna explained that, sometimes I disappear from my dearest devotees just so they'll pine after me even more. In this way, because absence makes the heart grow fonder, their love for me increases. So I do it on purpose. And then Krishna, he defended himself, saying, I know what I'm doing. I know what kind of devotees you are. I understand your hearts. And I'm doing the best thing for your love. Just like in a different situation, he's telling Brahma that I already know, and what you're begging from me has already been granted. I'm aware of your heart's desire. You're my devotee. So, similarly, Krishna told the gopis, I know what kind of devotees you are. You're my best devotees. I'm not going to leave you hanging. In fact, I'm going to increase your love even more. I know you're not ordinary devotees. You've given everything to me. Therefore, I can't even repay you if I had the lifetime of Brahma. You'll just have to be satisfied with your service. Now, to just be satisfied with service, is that Krishna cheating his dearest devotees? Imagine, if, let's say, maybe you're a wife who served your husband faithfully for 20 years, and he tells you, what you've done for me, I can never repay with the lifetime of Brahma. So just go on doing it and be satisfied with your service. How many of you would be satisfied with that? We're always doing something to get something. Yet, when you have devotional service, Krishna has given you the best thing. So he's telling the gopis that there's nothing higher than my service. In fact, through that service, Krishna can be conquered. And they had already conquered Krishna by their love. So we can take heart from these leelas with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether Brahma or Kardama Muni or the intimate leelas of the gopis. And Krishna knows how to reciprocate. He knows what's best for our hearts. And that personal care begins even for young devotees, even new devotees. As soon as you sign on the line, so to speak, Krishna, I'm yours. He's personally watching your situation. But how can the Lord reciprocate with us except through our service? Our service is not an inconvenience or a burden, something we have to struggle through. It is the greatest privilege awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even though the task may be so difficult, Krishna's mercy is there. And by persevering, we'll hear in future verses about Brahma's perseverance. By persevering in our service through all circumstances, this is the way to earn the blessings of the Supreme Lord. So anyone who's interested in how to become dear to the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master, they can read these prayers by Brahma and become filled with knowledge how to be empowered. Just like Prabhupada writes that not only Brahma, but anyone who takes up the confidential task of trying to help reclaim the fallen souls is entitled to the same mercy that Brahma got, the same protection, the same empowerment. So this is the kind of Shakti that Srila Prabhupada is handing out through disciple succession. He's giving such service opportunities, and he's giving the power to execute that service. And we simply have to continue begging, just as Brahma is begging, Please give me the ability. Please don't allow me to fall down with pride. Please give me the knowledge how to do this service. And then we'll see extraordinary things happen in spreading Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Any questions? Yes?
We've been talking a lot about, after class, about the devastation that happens at the end of Brahma's night and at the end of his life, at the end of Brahma's day. At the end of Brahma's day, there's a partial devastation.
Yes.
And then the three upper planetary systems are not destroyed. Three uppermost planetary planets are not destroyed. And then I was wondering, at the end of Brahma's life, all the planets are then destroyed.
The end of Brahma's life, everything is destroyed. All living entities merge into the body of Mahavishnu. Brahma, if he's a devotee, like in this universe, he'll go back to Godhead. But don't be around even for the annihilation of this tiny earth planet. That's your responsibility. Not to see so many annihilations again and again. Any other questions? Yes? A minor event in the history of the cosmos. Any other questions? Yes.
If the devotees gave you the service and was praying in that way to receive the intelligence and the know-how and how to perform the service, and that doesn't seem to come. Is it that the devotee has to just persevere, or is there a certain kind of, is there like a checklist type of thing? Or?
You'll find in this chapter that part of Brahma's great ability is that even though his situation looked a bit bewildering and he didn't know what to do, he hung in there. So perseverance is a sign that you care. If you didn't care, then you wouldn't put up with something. So at least in bhakti yoga you should persevere, but better than that is to learn to relish even the difficult moments that come your way in the course of serving Krishna. Younger devotees should be very eager to learn from the determination of the older devotees. Here in New Dwarka, you have so many seasoned veterans. You shouldn't just live amongst them in a kind of a blind way. You should try to understand what makes them tick, why year after year, decade after decade, they've gone on with their service. That's the best way to take advantage of the presence of older devotees. Talk to them. Well, how is it you've been around pushing on Prabhupada's movement for 30 years? I mean, you know, I'd like to learn some tips. This is taking advantage of the wealth and opulence that Rukmini Dwarkadesh has given. The opulence of perseverant devotees and dedicated devotees. So you ask them. All right. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Krishna, Krishna.